is essential we have a true picture of who God is, if we even start to understand the gospel. Because God is holy, that's why we needed the cross. Scripture reveals to us that God is perfect and pure. Isaiah's vision is recorded here to help give us some understanding of what that means. If we don't have a sense of the holiness of God, we won't see the problem with our sin. Sin, any sin, is a deep offense to God. The big sins and the little sins. And Isaiah immediately saw this. In the presence of such holiness, he was absolutely appalled by his own sin. A serious response, utter devastation. He could no more exist there than an ice cube could exist in a furnace. Woe is me, chapter verse 5. Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah felt lost. The word can also mean destroyed. He felt destroyed in the presence of the Holy God as he became overwhelmingly aware of his own sinfulness. The seraphim, they offered pure worship. In stark contrast, Isaiah knew that he had unclean lips. He confessed he was a sinner. It's interesting that expression Isaiah uses, unclean lips. He focuses his guilt on his speech. But then, maybe it's not so surprising, because isn't it true? So often, what we say is a reflection of our heart. Gossip, proud talk, lies. So often the lips are a channel into what really our heart's really like. But surely Isaiah, not Isaiah the prophet, unclean lips. Isaiah would have been considered a holy man by his people. In the first five chapters of his book, we read how he prophesied in God's name while Uzziah was on the throne, telling people about God's judgment and sin. People might not have liked his message, but they probably all agreed, yes, Isaiah is a holy man. He had the cleanest lips in Judah, probably. Yet, man's standards don't count in the face of God. Measured by God's standards, Isaiah could only see utter failure for himself. He may dwell in the midst of people on clean lips, but that let him off the hook. In light of God's holiness, he was no better than anyone else. He later writes in chapter 64, all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Isaiah confessed he's a sinful man, unfit to stand for the Holy One. We too are sinners. We may do good things. We may avoid the big illegal sins, but we're all spoiled by sin in the sight of God. That's a fact we need to face during our lifetimes. For to stand before God at the end of our lives with our sins unforgiven would be a terrible thing. Nobody wants that to happen. If that was the end of the story, if all we learned was that God is holy and we are sinners, that would be despair, wouldn't it? Where's the hope in that? But we aren't left without hope. And Isaiah soon discovered that. He wasn't abandoned in his broken state. There was restoration for him. Verses 6 and 7. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he'd taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Isaiah saw and personally experienced God's wonderful grace, his undeserved favor. Isaiah could do absolutely nothing to make himself clean in sight of God. He was helpless. He was like a dead man there. But God took the initiative. He always does. God brings life out of death. He specializes in that. The coal came from the altar. That altar was there in the temple for sacrifices, because God's people had to give instructions to sacrifice regularly to help deal with the sin. But really, these sacrifices couldn't deal properly with the root of sin. The real sacrifice, the only proper sacrifice, was still to come. But from that altar, representative sacrifices, a hot coal was taken and applied to the prophet's mouth. Did it hurt? Doesn't say, does it? It was hot enough for the seraph to use tongs. It touched Isaiah's mouth. His mouth that he identified as a symbol of his guilt. A symbolic act. Isaiah's told his guilt is removed and sin atoned for. That's the meaning behind it. His guilt's removed and sin is atoned for. It's what atonement is about, the restoration of a broken relationship. It actually comes from the idea of at one, being at one with somebody. It's the idea there of blotting out offenses, of covering over wrongs. And it's God's initiative to provide that atonement for Isaiah and for us. Isaiah had been cleansed. He'd been prepared to now really continue his ministry. He was a prophet in whom God would show his holiness as he proclaimed the message. And you speak so often of the coming Savior. Think of Christmas, all the verses we look at then. For to us a child is born. Wonderful Counselor. All these verses come from Isaiah. Because he saw the power of God. And he saw that God could provide a Savior.